This morning, we continue our prayer and action series for racial justice. As a reminder, we have daily prayers that go along with this series that you can pick up each Sunday. They're out in the lobby on the table near the elevator today. And this week, we'll be praying for healing in ourselves, in our relationships, and in our world. So you're invited on your way out to pick up one of those prayers and pray along with us this week. Our scripture this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 9 through 12. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's this new commercial out for Vicks Vapor Rub that I started seeing on TV a few weeks ago. It's this series of still photos that starts with pictures of people who are sick and then transitions to pictures of people being cared for. There are pictures of parents caring for children. There are pictures of adult children caring for aging parents. There are pictures of caregivers and friends. And then at the end of the commercial, these words come on the screen. Because when it comes to healing, the most powerful ingredient is you. Now, the first time I saw this, I thought to myself, I'm not sure that's true. I think maybe the most powerful ingredient to healing would be like medicine or doctors or nurses or science. But then I started to prepare for this Sunday, and I read this passage from Isaiah. And I found myself thinking, well, that maybe the advertising executives behind this commercial had also just read these words from Isaiah before they started. Because Isaiah certainly seems to agree here that when it comes to healing, the most powerful ingredient is you. The scripture, it's instructing people that they are the ones who can bring about healing and wholeness. And the people that Isaiah is prophesying to in the scripture, they are in definite need of some healing. At this point in the book of Isaiah, the people are just beginning to return from exile. Basically, Israel as a kingdom had strayed from following God and had been conquered by the Babylonians. And many of the Israelite people had either been captured and sent away or had fled as refugees from their country. But now several years had passed, and people are beginning to find that it is safe to return. But they have had some problems. Like some of the people who are returning to Israel were born in exile, and so they don't even know what it's like to live there. And what's more, some of the people who did remember, everything they remembered about their home was gone. Their actual home, their kingdom, their temple, all destroyed. And so they're starting to wonder if it was even worth returning home. They're starting to wonder if God is still there. After all, they're doing all the things on the outside they're supposed to do. They're coming to worship God. They're fasting like they're supposed to. But it still feels as though God is so far away. And that's when Isaiah shows up at the beginning of this chapter to deliver a word from God. And God tells the people that they're missing the point. The point isn't the fasting or the worship in and of itself. The point is how those acts transform all your other actions. The problem is that the people are fasting and they're worshiping, but they aren't acting any more loving towards other people. They aren't working for righteousness and justice. Nothing about their lives has changed. And that's why they can't notice God. That's why they aren't experiencing any healing. The Israelite people are wondering, how do we know that we are holy? How do we know that we're doing the right thing? How do we know that God is here? Isaiah gives them the answer of how they can know these things. They have to remove the yoke of oppression. They have to stop the pointing of fingers, stop the speaking of evil. They have to offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. And then he goes on to say that when you do those acts, God will bring about healing in your lives and in your land. You will know that God is there, God is saying, because healing will happen, and you will be a part of it all. Now, this is a different way to think about healing than we often do when we encounter it in the scripture. Most of the time when we encounter healing in scripture, it's in one of the stories of Jesus. And there's a person who's in need of physical healing, and in many cases, they reach out to Jesus, and then Jesus heals them. There's often very little involvement from other people. But that's not the picture of healing we get here. Here, the community is necessary and vital to healing. These are if-then statements. The healing will only happen if the community lives in this way. Now, I know that might make us a little bit uncomfortable. Like, is this saying that God isn't powerful enough to heal this community? But that's not it. Instead, God is giving people agency in their own healing. This is God saying that there are things you can do to bring about healing and wholeness. We don't have a God who tells us, well, healing and wholeness either will happen or it won't, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Instead, this passage is God telling the Israelites and us today, you know those broken parts of your life and your world and your relationships? These are real and practical things you can do to bring about healing and wholeness to them. This is God saying that when it comes to healing, the most powerful ingredient is you. So how then do we participate in healing? What can we do so that light will rise in the darkness? What can we do so that we and our communities will be like springs of water whose waters never fail? What can we do so that we can be repairers of the breach and restorers of the streets that we live in? Well, the first thing we do is show up. We have to be willing to be present in the brokenness. We have to be there, whether that's with a relationship that we're seeking to heal or a brokenness in our world. We can't be agents of healing if we don't show up. We can't participate in healing if we aren't there. And then after we show up, we first listen. We have to be people willing to listen to the brokenness. We can't show up and immediately think, well, we know how to fix this situation, because we don't. No matter how closely we might be involved in the brokenness, we do not solely know the answer for healing. We need the other person or people involved, and we need to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because while we're agents in this healing work, it's still guided by God. Then after we show up and listen to others and the Holy Spirit, we're ready to claim what is unwell or broken. Now, this is an important part of healing for us to stop and talk about. Because often we're tempted to move right to fixing the problem. But often what is visibly broken isn't the reason for the brokenness. It isn't the only thing that's in need of healing. Let's look closer at our scripture again for a moment. It strikes me that when Isaiah starts with listing the actions we take for healing, he begins with the internal ones before he moves to the outward actions. He starts by telling the people that they have to remove the yoke from among them. They have to remove the pointing of fingers and the speaking of evil. It's only then he goes to offering food to the hungry and satisfying the needs of the afflicted. It's like the message is that it doesn't matter if you feed the hungry and serve the needy, if you're still participating in systems that oppress. That's what the yoke comment means. If you're still pointing fingers and speaking evil. Now, this is really difficult for us because many of us have the means and the resources to give, and we have the heart for service, and we want to heal by serving others, by fixing those external things that are unwell. But that doesn't bring about any real healing if the more internal or systemic things are still going on. So, for example, we can't go on mission trips without asking what's going on in that community, that they need a mission team to come and serve them. And we can't go to Royal Family or to Camp Confidence without asking why there are more children of color in foster care. And we can't serve on the Blue Bus without asking why there are so many fewer grocery stores on the west side of Cleveland than here in Strongsville. And we can't make meals for Laura's Home or City Mission without asking what systemic issues in our society have led to homelessness. We have to claim what is unwell. We have to acknowledge what is broken before we can work for healing. And then once we really do, we can go on the journey of healing. Because healing is a journey. All healing, whether you're healing your own self, you're healing a relationship, or healing our community or our world, is a journey. No healing is a one-time event. All healing requires a commitment to go on the journey, to participate as long as necessary. So we go on the journey for bringing light in the darkness. We go on the journey to springs of water that never fail. We go on the journey to be repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. Recently, our Catalyst for Change group read a book called Cousins, Connected Through Slavery. It's a story of two women, Phoebe Kilby and Betty Kilby Baldwin. While researching her family history, Phoebe, who is white, discovered that her ancestors owned slaves. Further research identified Betty as the descendant of one of those slaves. This book is the story of their individual lives, but it's also the story of how both Phoebe and Betty responded when they learned of this brokenness. Quite simply, they responded by seeking healing in the same way that we've been talking about. Phoebe showed up and listened to Betty. They built a relationship together. And then they began to claim some of what was broken, what needed healing, not just in their individual relationship, but in our country that's been broken by racism. And they committed to go on the journey together. And journey together they have. They began coming to the table which seeks to work towards racial reconciliation. And they travel the country speaking together. In fact, I don't want to give you too much information about the work that they're doing, because we actually have the honor to host Betty and Phoebe here at our church this fall on a Saturday on October 8th. And when they're here, they're going to share more of this journey with us. Healing is a journey. And yet God gives us the opportunity to be agents for healing in our lives, in our relationship, and in our world. We do that by showing up, by listening to others and to the Holy Spirit, by claiming what is unwell and broken, and then by going on the journey towards healing. And if we do that, if, as the scripture says, we remove the yoke from among us, remove the pointing of fingers, the speaking of evil, if we offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, well, then our light shall rise in the darkness. Then we shall be like a watered garden whose waters never fail. Then we shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Then we will be called the repairers of the breach and the restorers of streets to live in. Because when it comes to healing, the most important ingredient is you. Amen.